We start today's program with the state budget. After a brief detour as House Republicans disagreed with Senate Republicans, including Senate President Andy Biggs, the bodies agreed on a budget and are now waiting for Governor Jan Brewer to decide whether to sign or veto the bills. Funding for the new Child Protective Services Agency was perceived to be a slam dunk, but not knowing exactly what the agency would encompass has left the final numbers in doubt. Dana Namark, President and CEO of Children's Action Alliance, joins me now. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning.
So, general thoughts, Dana, on this budget and how it relates to children?
Well, this budget is incomplete, and many legislators have recognized, and certainly Governor Brewer has, that they have unfinished business for children and that they need to come back and complete the budget for the new agency that will work on child protective services.
What do you think about opposition that's been expressed by some, including Senate President Biggs, about this idea that we're really not sure what the agency is going to look like? We need to know more of that before money is committed.
Well, I can understand that legislators want to see a more detailed plan, and it's unfortunate that it wasn't available for this regular session and for the budget negotiations. We look forward to seeing that plan from the governor's work group, and at that time, we fully expect legislators to follow through on their commitments and to fund the agency for it to be successful in protecting kids.
Dana, considering what we saw at the beginning of this session and what the governor was saying, are you surprised that there hasn't been faster movement on this? I know there are other priorities down at the Capitol, but are you surprised this didn't seem to grab folks the way it seemed like it was going to?
Well, I'm surprised that they weren't able to incorporate the needs into this current budget. And as I said, we certainly expect them to follow through within the next couple of months and make the budget complete. It's not surprising that it would take time to create a new agency and to come up with the blueprint for that. There are a lot of very complex issues, and we certainly want to be using best practices and be much more effective than we have in the past.
How likely do you think it is that we're going to have a special session specifically on this issue?
We think it is extremely likely, and we've heard Governor Brewer say that. We've heard Speaker Andy Tobin say that. We've heard many other individual legislators say that and say that they intend to complete this business and this budget in that special session. And as you know, they officially adopted that intent as part of the budget that they passed and sent on to the governor.
Could you share with us anything perhaps that you've been talking about or priorities that you have that when you go forward with whatever this new agency is in fact going to look like, what it's going to be called, some things that you want to know are going to be involved, and predictability of services, predictability of costs, that kind of thing?
Well, the most important thing and what we know from any system around the country that works well is for the system and the staff to have a whole range of tools at their disposal. Every CPS case is different. There's no cookie cutter. And when you only have one or two tools or one or two types of responses, things do fall through the cracks, or we spend more money than we should, or we don't get the outcomes we want. So we want to make sure that the new staff and the new agency has a whole range of different tools, different types of services, different types of responses to give to the different cases. The second most important thing is for the staff to be well-trained, have low caseloads, have supervisors who have the time and expertise to supervise and work with them on cases. Really, nothing else succeeds unless we have that. And number three is an absolute requirement. This budget that the governor is examining now has not a penny more to prevent child abuse and neglect, which means the workload on CPS will continue to be incredibly and extraordinarily high. We have got to turn those trends around, which means we have to put resources and focus and attention on the front end so that fewer families ever need CPS.
Dana, why isn't there more money for prevention?
Prevention is a hard sell at the legislature. Part of the reason is that, as you know, elections are on two-year cycles and the state budget is on a one-year cycle, and the benefits of prevention are on a longer timeline. And so the legislators who literally see those benefits and the cost savings from prevention are not the same ones who are in office today. So we have to work with all of our leaders to help them see the longer timeline and to make that investment in the future, just as they do in our future economy, in our future workforce. They have to look at it the same way.
I'm glad you used the word leader, because I think some people wonder whether there's leadership to do. Talked about best practices a moment ago. This combination of providing what is best for kids, what is best for families, and yet also having there be a check and balance, knowing that the program, the system, the agency is run as efficiently as possible while performing its number one priority, which is protecting kids. Do you feel like there's momentum for that?
Well, certainly Charles Flanagan, the new director of the new department, is interested in accountability and transparency and has talked about having internal audits and internal quality control. I do think it's extremely important to have community connections and community oversight in addition to that, as well as legislative oversight. The only way we can keep track on an ongoing basis, no matter who the director is, no matter how the staffs change, is to have some vehicle to have that ongoing dialogue and to have community involvement on a regular basis. So we are urging the governor's work group and legislators to create some vehicle like that, to have that community oversight, and also to make the legislative oversight committee ongoing so that that doesn't expire.
Dana, finally, you have a lot of experience with state budgets over the years. Do you think there could have been more money put into child protection without it making much of a dent in state spending?
Well, there certainly could have been more money, and we'll see how the debate goes, and we certainly expect that it's on the table for the special session. If we end that special session and if the final budget still falls short, we will be in big trouble and we'll be setting up this new agency for failure rather than for success.
Dana Namark is president and CEO of Children's Action Alliance. Dana, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. Now joining me in studio is Tom Jenny, Arizona Director of Americans for Prosperity. Tom, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for letting me be here, Steve.
Tom, give me a general idea of what you think of this budget. There was some bend, it seems, by conservative folks to about six House Republicans who may have been classified more as moderates.
Yeah, I think what people need to understand in some sense is that what we're talking about are very, very small differences. If you're looking at the big, big picture. But then in some sense, small differences matter. I don't know if you've heard the lecture on this or statistics, but, you know, people have looked back, and if the United States had 1% less economic growth per year starting in 1776, our economy right now would be the size of Mexico's economy. We would be at that level of wealth. So some of these small differences actually add up. But I think there's a lot of heat and a lot of rhetoric sometimes down at the legislature, and we're talking about pretty small differences. The governor originally was looking for a budget that was going to increase 5.5%. What we're at now is about 4%. My organization, Americans for Prosperity, we would have preferred something closer to the JLBC baseline budget, and our recommendation was a 3% increase.
Okay, so you still were advocating for at least a little bit of an increase. Was there a particular area, was there a particular situation, or are we in a position where, based on voter-approved measures, there were certain things that had to be spent?
Yeah, I think that's a nod to reality. We were not excited and doing cartwheels over a 3% increase, but we thought that that was possibly a sustainable increase in government spending. That was basically what population plus inflation would be. And a lot of the spending increases are basically locked in. You have to do some pretty heavy lifting legislatively to change some of the formulas. So what the Joint Legislative Budget Committee, that when we say JLBC, that's what right. we mean, mm-hmm. when they set out their baseline, they're basically saying, okay, we're going to spend the same thing we spent last year, but if there's an increase in hospital populations, if there's an increase in student populations, if there's an increase in prison populations, we're going to fund those increases. And so what you get out of that is about a 2.5% increase, maybe closer to 2% increase in spending. And of course, legislators have their own pet projects, things they want to spend money on. There's things the governor wants to spend money on. So you almost never get the baseline increase. You get something more.
Tell me, you break this down. Tell me a little bit about the priorities, because some people are concerned. I would say more people than anything else are concerned about education funding, university funding, considering those took really big cuts during the worst of the recession. Should that have been a priority as far as even the little bit of spending increase you were willing to support?
You know, for better or for worse, everybody's got their favorite government program. I think Dana's onto something. You know, your last guest, Dana Namark, with the Children's Action, there's something very, very important about protecting children. And I don't have a huge amount of confidence that the changes going on in CPS or whatever they're going to call it next are going to achieve those changes. But if you looked out there in the world and you thought about it, you say, okay, what should we do with government? I think protecting children would be way, way up there on the top of that list.
What about the future of Arizona's economy? In the past, when things were really going, there was a certain level of growth. We're certainly not back to that level. Who knows? Maybe we never will get back to that level. So are you in the camp that says, we need to continue to be conservative as opposed to saying maybe with a couple of years of benefits here, we could do some more investment. Investment for some is the word. For others, it's raising taxes or spending too much. Where do you stand there?
I think we have to be extremely careful, especially after the experience we just had. We went through a huge bubble in terms of not just the real estate bubble out in the economy, but politicians here basically spent all of that money as it came in as revenue and then leveraged it out to spend even more. We had a gigantic spending bubble, and we have just got down to what we think maybe a realistic, sustainable level. But, you know, so what we think is that they should be very cautious going forward from here. That's why we recommended just a population plus inflation increase of 3%. One of the scary things is you ask everybody down there at the legislature, is this budget balanced? And they'll say, yes. Oh, yeah. So, of course, this budget's balanced. But if you start looking out a few years, the Senate and House budgets, if you look out to the joint legislative budget, they're trying to predict based upon what they think are reasonable estimates. And they go out and they get surveys from different economists. And they're trying to guess how much revenue is going to come in. And they predict that in fiscal 16, which, by the way, includes part of the calendar year 2015. So we're not talking about long time from now. We're talking about, you know, a little over a year from now. They're talking about a budget that's going to be back in deficit to the tune of about $200 million. If you go into fiscal 17, now that deficit's up in the range of $400 or $500 million a year. So you could say this year's budget is balanced, but we've got big problems on the horizon. And every, you know, $10 million here, $10 million there, pretty soon we're talking about real money, and we're digging the hole deeper in fiscal 15, fiscal 16, fiscal 17.
But would you categorize this as optimist versus pessimist in the sense that a lot of economists were pretty wrong about how deep the deficit was going to be, and they were wrong as far as when Arizona would recover. So where do you stand there?
That's absolutely right, is that these are just economic, you know, econometricians are always wrong. Some of them are just, and I mean that with the best, you know, they're scientists just trying to make a model and trying to have it reflect the real world and trying to figure out what's going to happen next, and nobody knows is the real answer. I don't know, and they don't know. So I know that their hearts are in the right place. They're trying, but right now, the estimates show that we're going back into a deficit pretty soon. That could change. There could be some amazing technological breakthrough that only happens in Arizona, we become the next Silicon Valley of the world. Something unforeseen could happen. A lot of bad stuff could happen. We could be in a long-term secular stagnation kind of a phenomenon where we have an aging population that's lower demand. Seniors spend less in most categories of spending. That could greatly depress demand. It could greatly depress the savings and investment that are needed to drive the economy. So we could be in for, you know, we could be in for a Japan style as our population ages. Who knows? We could be headed in that direction. So and government needs to vastly scale back its expectations if that kind of a scenario develops.
Tom Jenny is Arizona Director of Americans for Prosperity. Tom, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.